The Monday A-Grades with Joel and Fletch.
Yes, boys. A-grades over the weekend. Where should we? You've got an A-grade?
I've got an A-grade. So not this weekend, but the weekend before I flew up to the Gold Coast. First time I've travelled in a little while, like many people. And manners have gone out the window on flights. Absolutely gone out the window. So the first one, I was sitting in between two women.
Yeah.
And someone is farting all flight. Now, I don't know if it was one of the women or someone in front or behind us. But because I'm a guy in between two women, people are looking at me as if I'm the one farting.
Yeah.
And 100 and not once, not twice, I'm talking like nearly every 5 minutes on the minute for the whole flight. Absolute shockers. And the second one is when you're getting off the plane, you get off in the order, right? The people in the front of you get up off their seat and leave. People behind pushing through to get off the flight earlier. I think that is the rudest thing in the world
so
just about.
I.
So manners on flights, there's a bunch of A-grades out there at the moment.
Your first A-grade, Andrew Voss, has the best way to combat that. He reckons there should be a sensor in the seat and a light goes off above you. You know, like when you press the button for
there's sort a of vibration
back
in your
in
seat.
The day. A light goes off so like you know that. Where it came from.
Yeah.
And so, it calls them out.
So this is an interesting, it made me think about a different scenario where people have gone to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
And they emerge from the bathroom and they quickly point out to, oh, g'day, mate, oh, I wouldn't go in there. It wasn't me, by the way. Like, when they say it wasn't me, does it make you actually think more so that it was them or not?
Yeah, well, it alerts you more to the fact that something, you're walking into something. But I think it makes them more guilty.
Yeah, okay. Brooksy, any A-grades?
The airport. I have two. I'll save one for later. But the airport, when you're getting, it happened to me today, when you're getting your bags at the end of your flight
and
you're waiting and the people that hover over the belt and the bags haven't even started coming out yet.
Yeah.
And you have to, if you see your bag and your bag comes out before theirs.
Yeah.
You'd think like, oh, my bag hasn't come yet. I should stay at least 3 meters back. And then when my bag, I can sight my bag, I move to the belt. No, they stay. They get there and like hover over and block the way and then sort of look at you as if you've done something totally wrong to ruin their lives when you try and grab your bag.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's step it back 2 meters at least.
At least.
And then approach the belt. Once you can see your bag.
Yeah.
Let's not stand over and hover over.
Yeah,
it's just impatientness from the plane.
Do you think it's
to the belt?
It's travel etiquette has been forgotten a little bit because no one's traveled in a while. Because there was shockers all around the other day when I flew. Lining up to get in there, people pushing past saying my flights are coming earlier or whatever. Then once we got on the plane, I don't know. Maybe people haven't been traveling, so they're a bit panicky. It's a problem.
Yeah. Gibbo, any A-grades?
Yeah, while we're doing the airport pylon, I caught a plane to Melbourne a few weeks ago. We went down to the wave pool. And then so at Sydney Airport, it was pretty chaotic, but it was organised and everything was sort of working smoothly. Tullamarine Airport down in Victoria was hopeless. So like we have to go put our board bags through a separate sort of section. We're all there. The lady just doesn't look like she knows what she's doing. Yeah. She's not really filling us with any confidence. Anyway, we get back to Sydney. We're waiting for our boards. It's been half an hour. No boards come out.
Oh, no.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, I don't think she actually put them in. So they didn't come back. And then so we had to wait a few days to get our boards.
Oh, no.
Airports, I think, because everyone's sort of traveling again. Some people maybe have been chilling out for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
They got to get up their game, I think. And it was with Jetstar.
Can I ask you this, Gibbo?
No more flying with jets.
Can I ask you this, Gibbo? I've just watched the doco, which is outstanding. Make or break.
Yeah.
Did you watch Drive to Survive?
Yeah, loved it.
You loved it, right?
Yeah.
Well, then you're gonna love. It's the same creators.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Make or Break, and it's about the surfing tour. And I know nothing about surfing, and I tell you what, it was bloody outstanding. I learned a few things. I didn't realize how good Mick Fanning was, 3 world titles. I didn't realise how good Steph Gilmore was.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how nice these Brazilian fellas were who were just running 1-2-3, Islo Ferreira, Gabriel Medina, and Felipe Toledo.
Yeah.
He's actually cool.
It's a really cool insight from my perspective, Joel, to hear someone talk so glowingly about surfing who probably doesn't surf. And I think that is the exact thing they want.
Yep.
And like all these athletes have tremendous backstories. And this year, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but there's the mid-year cut. So halfway through the year, the top 22 stay on the tour and the rest fall off. Now, all the surfers hated it. There were petitions saying get rid of it, but it's all for this show. So they're filming again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So Eric Logan, who took over the WSL, he's really Americanized it and trying to get more bums on seats.
Did Sally Fitzgibbon drop out?
She did, but then she ended up getting the wild card for the rest of the year anyway.
Okay.
So a few like notable surfers have dropped out. One guy in the show you're watching, Morgan Sibilic, who had an unreal run in his rookie year. Next year he's off.
Drops out.
So look,
it's pretty brutal format, isn't it?
What's he like? Because I don't think he comes across in the best fashion, Morgan Sibilic, in that doco. What's he like? You know?
He is just like a larrikin, really. Right. And he is quite young. Right. So I'm sure, like, you know, in a few years' time, he'll mature a bit. But, yeah, just, I mean, you know, going out and getting on the piss, like, a day before you're supposed to be surfing and then you injure yourself, like, yeah, it didn't come off very strong. But he's a young guy. Like, I'm sure if you look back at Mick Fanning when he was young, you would say similar things.
He's a larrikin.
Like, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And the next year will be better, Joel, because in that year, there were sort of shitty waves on tour. So, like, they were going to Newcastle is a great place, but it's not a world-class wave.
You know, speaking of that, I'll tell you what's A-grade is one of the tournaments. Do you call them a tournament?
One of the events.
Yeah, event. One of the events
Yana.
Was at a wave pool.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Surf Ranch. That was rank.
Well, the reason why they have done that is because the WSL owns a fair chunk of that wave pool, Kelly Slater's wave pool.
Yeah.
And I think because they're thinking about the Olympics, potentially they'll do it at wave pools. But yeah, it's a pretty poor event. And I'm pretty sure going forward, it's not going to be on tour.